This is Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
I'm now joined on the line by Dr. Piers Gooding from the Law School at the University of Melbourne. Piers, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mitchell.
Now, today we're talking about some of the difficulties which are faced by people from disadvantaged backgrounds when it comes to accessing the legal system, and there is a bit of injustice out there with the criminal justice system, isn't there?
That's correct, and in fact our project is focused specifically on the experience of people with cognitive disabilities in the criminal justice system. And as you could imagine, people with intellectual disabilities and acquired brain injury and mental health issues are at a particular disadvantage.
And is it common for them to come before the criminal justice system? Are they overrepresented?
They certainly are. Now, there are actually difficulties with data collection because people don't always tell you that they have a disability and they may be unwilling to divulge. But certainly the evidence indicates that there is an overrepresentation. And that's because as suspects, individuals with intellectual disabilities might not want their disability to be recognised and they try to cover it up so they can't have accommodations as a result. They might not understand their rights, but they'll pretend to understand. They might not understand instructions and may be overwhelmed by police presence. They're often the first person to leave the crime scene and the first to get caught. And they might be confused about who is responsible for the crime and confess even though innocent.
And is there a typical crime or offence that the people are usually associated with, or is it pretty much a broad range like it is for the rest of society?
I think it is a broad range for the rest of the society in general, and I suspect, and there is some evidence to indicate that public disturbance and matters like these kind of public crimes are typical of people who may be disadvantaged and unable to access services and may be more likely to be on the street in various ways. So that seems to be the case.
But from what you're saying, it sounds like a bit of a challenge trying to resolve the problem if people don't identify themselves as disabled in the first place. If they don't say they have a problem, then how do we know?
I think this is part of the issue, but another part is that the criminal justice system is inaccessible in a number of ways to people with cognitive disabilities. And I include within cognitive disabilities people with Alzheimer's, dementia. As you can imagine, the population as it ages will see a number of people with Alzheimer's and dementia coming into contact with the criminal justice system, but it might also include autism spectrum disorders, multiple sclerosis, as I said, acquired brain injury, stroke, tumours, drug and alcohol abuse, and some mental illnesses. So I think we are clear that there are a number of people with major disabilities that affect their ability to understand, but I think it's also very clear from the evidence and from the range of Law Reform Commission reports that have come out on this issue that the criminal justice system itself hasn't created enough accessibility measures for people like this.
And is there a common sentence that is handed down? For example, do they often end up in prison with a custodial sentence or paying fines? Are there ways that we can reform the sentencing process?
I'm glad you asked that, Mitchell.
Thank you.
Our project is specifically focused on one particular response within the criminal justice system for accused persons who come before the courts, and that is when they are deemed unfit to plead. Now, unfit to plead refers to a ruling where the court determines that a person is unable to understand what's happening in the courtroom and is unable to meaningfully participate. Now, that sounds like it is going to address disadvantage, but there may be some drawbacks to that particular approach. In particular, people who are deemed unfit to plead can be held indefinitely in prisons. And as a result, they may well spend more time incarcerated or under a supervision order than they would have if they had pleaded guilty and been convicted. So in other words, without any conviction, people can be held indefinitely. And there are examples from all over the country, in particular in Western Australia and the Northern Territory, where certain laws facilitate this more easily. But even here in Victoria, we are seeing cases like this.
Well, that's a bit of a fundamental principle of the system, isn't it? That if you are charged with a certain offence and it's deemed quite serious and at risk of being a danger to the community, they say, well, we have to keep you on remand until the case is over. So that freedom is removed from a lot of people, isn't it?
That's correct. And, I mean, even 3 years ago, there was an intellectually disabled man who was left in prison for more than a year for a crime that the judge determined he could not have understood. And this was largely because accommodation could not be found for him. This was a man named Ross Cunningham who spent 371 days on remand, and County Court Judge Mark Taft called his incarceration an embarrassment to the administration of criminal justice. And he was found not guilty by reason of mental impairment, which is slightly different from an unfitness to plead ruling, but Mr. Cunningham, who was 62, had a lifelong intellectual disability and was also experiencing the early stages of dementia. So again, 371 days he was left on remand, and that was because accommodation could not be found for him.
And if people do commit a crime that they can't understand, what's the best way of rehabilitating them if you wanted to have that as a sentencing aim?
Well, our project in particular is seeking to provide supports to people who have been accused of a crime and who are facing the courts and are at risk of being deemed unfit to plead. The Law Reform Commission of Victoria, but also Law Reform Commissions around Australia, uniformly found that people who are accused of crimes with disabilities aren't getting the type of support they need within the courtroom. So while I could talk about some of the post-sentencing kinds of initiatives that are out there, our focus is particularly on the supports within the courtrooms and what can be done to assist people to understand and participate in their trial and essentially access justice on an equal basis with others.
Well, Piers, thank you very much for joining us this morning. A very interesting conversation.
My pleasure, Mitchell. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Piers Gooding there from the University of Melbourne, discussing some of those issues that people have when it comes to accessing the criminal justice system. And we do know there's so many different issues that people face when it comes to trying to get equal representation. So it's a massive problem, and I think we probably don't always have the answers that we need. Now, we will go to a break. Joining us next will be Elaine Carbines, the CEO of the G21, discussing what's happening around the G21 region, and I may have to ask a couple of questions about what's going on with the council as well.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.